Welcome back, everybody. This is Mark Steiner, and good to have you with us here on The Mark Steiner Show, on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We're going to take a look at what is happening in Haiti. Recently, we've seen almost 1,000 people, maybe more than 1,000 people, who have died in this hurricane. You saw the glaring differences between what happened in Haiti and what happened in Cuba. We will look at that. We're going to look at what's happening in this nation where cholera epidemic was breaking out post-earthquake. Now that it had been exacerbated by this hurricane hit. And the question of how all this is really tied to, in many ways, what America and other parts of the world, but especially the United States, and the relationship with Haiti has caused, and why this is here, what the roots of this are. And we are joined here by Nicole Phillips, who's staff attorney with the Institute for Justice and Democracy in Haiti, who's now in Haiti. Good to have you with us, Nicole. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
And Wadner Pierre joins us. Wadner Pierre is one of noted singers and entertainers and activists from Haiti. He's a photojournalist and social media activist. And Wadner, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Mark, for having me.
And Azilie Danto is with us. She is president of the Haitian Lawyers Leadership Network in New York City. And Azilie, welcome back. Good to have you with us again.
Thank you.
And you all can join us here again at 410-319-8888. You can write to us at talk@steinershow.org by email. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. But join us. We're here. Let me just start with you just to get a sense of what's happening on the ground. We were going to have Lavaris Garaon, but he'll be on later in the next week to talk more with us from Haiti as well. But talk about it, what you see happening on the ground at the moment.
Right. Well, I mean, there's a lot of chaos happening, and I would say a lot of suffering and misery in the areas that have been affected. As you mentioned, there are estimates of between 1 and 1.5 million Haitians that have been affected by this hurricane. In many towns, as many as 80% of the people have lost their homes. So they're sleeping in makeshift shelters or under the stars. Food is also becoming a huge crisis. People's food supplies were greatly damaged. Their livestock has died. The crops have been ruined. This is harvest season for many crops. And so people are starting already just a week after the hurricane to go hungry. We're very, very worried about long-term food supplies. With the lack of supply, food prices have started to go up, yet people can't afford to pay that. And like you mentioned, there's a big fear of cholera. People's water sources have been also depleted, and so people are forced, they have no choice but to drink from local streams and other water supplies that may be affected by cholera. And so we're terrified of a huge cholera epidemic, in these areas.
But we're also reading that it's been extremely difficult to get supplies and relief. So what's going on there?
Sure. Well, one of the things to understand about sort of the geography of Haiti is that where these areas are in the southwest of the country. It's a very mountainous region. A lot of the roads weren't great to start with. It could take hours and hours and hours to get 200 miles. Now many of those roads have been destroyed, and so it's difficult logistically to even get to these locations. It's also quite spread out, so there are many different types of, many little villages or towns. So there are towns, for example, one that I'm familiar with is called Les Irois, and on the southwest, and I haven't heard any reports from anybody in that town of about 20 to 25,000 people. So we don't even know what the casualties are yet, and I don't believe that any aid has gotten there yet. The phones are down, or they've ran out of electricity to charge their phones. So they're completely cut off from communication, and I think that's not the only town. There are many towns like that.
So, Azilie Danto, I like to really kind of explore this in the context of why we never pay attention, at least in America. Haiti is not paid attention to unless we're talking about refugees that are being denied entry to America or drowning in the water or earthquakes. And we I think America lacks the understanding, A, of the historic relationship between these two countries and the role we've played in all of this and in what's happening in Haiti now.
Yes, thank you so much for actually asking me that question, because I think there's this is psychological warfare, and there's a poverty camping industry in Haiti. I've been doing this work since, 30 years now, and we are under a brutal, tyrannical U.S.-European occupation of Haiti.
And what does that mean?
It means that since 2004, we've been under direct occupation by the U.N., and as you hear all this stuff about Haiti, as you see this devastation, what folks forget is that we have rescuers in Haiti already. For almost 13 years now, the UN has been in Haiti. Do you hear them? Now we have new military coming in. When the UN is already in Haiti, supposedly, what have they done for that $500 million that they're getting paid? You see, we have this occupation behind a humanitarian front where white folks and bourgeois black folks come to Haiti and they're writing out the recession on our head. What I always say is this: Haiti is so rich. For instance, this land that has just been devastated by this natural disaster that they're talking about, rolling hills in green, you will not see those type of pictures. That's what it was before this Hurricane Matthew. Trees, I mean, all the trees now are basically falling down. And I think it's almost funny, right? Because one of the Weather Channel people, Delgado, some woman who was talking about Haiti, the psychological warfare that is in Haiti, that is being the image that these NGOs, like the one Ms. Phillips heads, are projecting all of this. We have 15 million people, 10 million in Haiti, 5 million abroad. If there was no occupation, if we didn't have this NGO front, Haitians could take care of Haitians, because we have almost $150 billion worth of natural resources, only 10 million people in Haiti. They could be millionaires. Haiti has massive oil, massive, the most gold in the Americas, massive. $8 billion in copper. What I said back in 2010 is what I'm saying now. When they said we had the worst earthquake, and now they're saying we've had the worst hurricane in 10 years. You see, what we say constantly is, if Haiti's resources was allowed to be used for Haitians to elevate their living standard, and not U.S. unfair trade, and not this U.S. occupation behind U.N. guns, and these NGOs like IJDH that Ms. Phillips is in, if we were allowed to do what to save ourselves, which we always do anyway, then Haiti would be elevated as one of the richest countries in the world. Now, so what we have is this occupation. It's hidden. It's hidden behind these NGOs. The UN has brought us cholera, which we didn't have after the earthquake. Now, what are they going to bring us now? What is the new military going to bring us now? Where are they? They brought us cholera that in 2010, after this earthquake, killed another 10,000 Haitians. We lost 316,000 Haitians in 33 seconds at the earthquake. Okay, in a place, right, where U.S. foreign policy by Mrs. Clinton and Bill Clinton and so forth had basically destroyed our food sovereignty. So those folks were taken from their land, brought into Cité-Soleil, where they would, in January 10th, meet the earthquake. Now we have this amazing arena of destruction where Haiti was taking care of itself. I mean, the people are poor, and, of course, American consumerism, they don't have that sort of thing. So, of course, they're taught that what they have is not important. But the fruit trees, the coconut trees, the organic food, you know, they may have been poor, but they were on that land. My family is from the South. Yes, we can't get to them. The only way to get to them at the moment is fishermen have actually gone around to come to the peninsula. Haitians are walking. My cousins walked from Port-au-Prince, or they took as much as they could in terms of driving, and then they started walking. But I think it's really, really important is not to use this new crisis to bring in a whole bunch of other NGOs, because what happens when they come in is, at the end of the day, like they did with the Red Cross, like they did with the Clinton Foundation, is that they take our land. And once they take our land, in the South, my family has lived in that Lac Courte for over 200 years before the revolution. And now all these strangers are coming in. That area is very close-knit. Everybody knows who is who. When these white sages come in, they end up staying, taking property, bringing disease. Haitians can take care of Haitians. And I can tell you right now that Haitians have mobilized to help Haitians that are hurt in the South. Whole groups and classes of school children have traveled to the South to clear roads, yards, to do whatever they can to help the victims. And I think that's what we're not paying attention to, because elderly people, we did this during the earthquake too. Homeless males were just, and children and orphans who were on the streets were lifting up with their bare hands concrete. So I think what people need to understand is that we are strong people. We have survived almost 200 years in since this is October. Haiti, our founding father, this is going to be, we always are celebrating the words of Jean-Jacques Dessalines, that we do not want dependency, we don't want charity, we want solidarity. And so, we want folks to help the Haitians who are on the ground doing what they can do to rebuild their houses. They want villages to have electricity, sanitation, and modern appliances and so on. But Haitians can do that if the United States doesn't come in and give Bill Clinton, the Red Cross, and all these people billions of dollars that never end up in the hands of Haitians who are doing for themselves.
So let me bring Wadner Pierre and then come back to Nicole. I mean, this is fascinating what Azili said and what Nicole said. Wadner, let me ask you your thoughts on what you've just been listening to.
What my sisters, Nicole Philippe and Azili Deto, have been saying about the problem in Haiti. So one thing I just want to add is I'm tired of seeing countries like France, U.S., Canada, you know, present themselves as good friends of Haiti, because everybody now like eyes on Haiti, like he was in 2010 after the earthquake. But the problem is we need to stop blaming Haiti's problem on natural disaster, because Haiti is not the only country on earth that has been hit by natural disaster like earthquake, and now we're dealing with Hurricane Matthew. But look at the result of the exclusion of Haiti and the international community for over 200 years. And if you look back to our history, country like France will make us pay for our independence. Like big organizations like UN, who recently accept that they are part of the cholera outbreak, already killed thousands of Haitians and seeking thousands more in Haiti. And they still refuse to accept to damage those victims. And when you look at this Haiti and this particular lens, and we will understand that we should not blame the problem of Haiti on natural disaster. For example, after the 2010 earthquake, Hillary Clinton went to Haiti to support election to elect President Martelly. And then look at United States support Martelly for 5 years, and Martelly did not organize any election, even local election. And now we're dealing with a sort of power vacuum. We're dealing with elections, and then when Haitian people say we did not accept this election, United States cut off aid for election in Haiti. So not only we have to pay for our own elections, but now we have to deal with natural disaster. On top of that, we have to deal with a UN imported cholera. So it just doesn't make sense for us Haitians to see countries like United States present himself, sending $1 million or technicians to help during natural disaster. But we will prefer that they look at the foreign policy toward this country for the past 200 years and now for them to make a conclusion. And I'm also asking myself, who is advising President Obama on Haiti? How can they don't understand? How can they don't bring the real problem on the table? Now it's time for people around the world to listen to Haitian people, to listen to what Haitian people want for the country. Because for so many years, for too long, the international community has basically hijacked this country, do whatever they want with this country, elect whoever they want as president, because they have an agenda. I don't think we are that poor that we can take care of our people, but it's the result of a bad foreign policy, whether in the United States, France, and Canada, as well as the Haitian elite who refuse to let the majority share, you know, the wealth of this country. And that's in this perspective we should see Haiti today, not in the lens of Hurricane Matthew, but see it on a historical lens, and we will understand why any little natural disaster, thousands Haitian died, or thousands Haitian affected. So it's disturbing. It's disturbing. And then when you have countries like Venezuela, Cuba, who've been helping Haiti, who've been there for us as good friends, helping our kids to go to medical school, and always effective in their response. We don't see report that on Cuba effort in Haiti. We don't see report on Venezuela report and effort in Haiti, except for if you go to a grassroots news outlet. So that's what I want, like Nicole and Dr. mentioned. So now it's the time to see Haiti and listen to Haitian people to find a solution for Haiti, because after the 2010 earthquake, they were billions of dollars. We know their name. We know how they participate. Well, President Clinton tweeted about the problem in Haiti. Now it's time for him, you know, it's time for him to tell people, tell the world, what did they do with billions of dollars they waste to help Haitian people.
The conversation is taking a really interesting turn, and I think it's important to kind of wrestle with this question of then how does the world respond and what do people do, and I've just heard, I mean, hearing what both Azili and Wadner Pierre, Azili Dantos, just said, Nicole, I mean, how do you think what should be the future dynamic here in terms of how the West really aids but steps out of the way? Is that, how do you see that?
Well, it's a great question, a tricky question. There's no doubt that there are many, many countries that are in desperate need of aid. What I can say from what I'm seeing is that Haitians are helping other Haitians. And it's both on a local level in terms of neighbors, family, and small businesses, big businesses in Haiti are mobilizing and renting trucks and figuring out how to get helicopters and airplanes and bringing supplies. Folks in diaspora in the United States are sending money to their family, you know, those kinds of things. I think that's the most important relief for Haitians. Secondly, the Haitian government is doing a lot more to take charge to try and coordinate this aid. Keep in mind after the earthquake that the capital itself was decimated. So here we have a slightly different situation where the government is still intact and making efforts to evacuate people before the hurricane and now trying to coordinate the aid. That is essential, of course, for relief to the extent that any international aid is received by the government, which is controversial in of itself. But to the extent it does, it must be coordinated through the Haitian government. And it must be in consultation with the beneficiaries of the aid, not seeing them as charity cases, but in seeing them as human beings who have human rights, right? So the rights there, the services that are being provided by relief workers are food, water, shelter, services. These are human rights, and so they must be delivered in a way that is with dignity and gives them accountability. I think one of all this frustration that has been so wonderfully articulated on this call with the international community has been their lack of, among many other things, has been their lack of accountability. And just one example is the United Nations peacekeeping troops after the earthquake, separate from the earthquake, but they were in Haiti, and through gross negligence, their septic system tank overflowed and cholera got into the river and has caused over 9,000 deaths in Haiti. And Haiti had never had cholera in recorded history. So it's created a huge situation that is now popping back up as cholera cases are spiking after this hurricane. And there's been no accountability for the United Nations at all. Recently, as we've mentioned, there is a plan, and we're very hopeful that this 6 years after cholera has been brought to the country will help eliminate cholera. So we're very hopeful for that and grateful. But at the same time, it took 6 years, and there was no accountability up until this point. And that's one gross, large example, but there are hundreds of smaller examples with international relief agencies that operate in this country without accountability. And so that's one of the biggest challenges that we're facing. So in terms of going forward, I would suggest that folks really research, you know, if it's an individual level, there's so much compassion out and so much solidarity, especially after this show, with your listeners of wanting to be in solidarity with Haitians and not seeing this as a charity case. And I would say do your research about what are Haitian-led recoveries and donate accordingly.
So Azalea, I wish you could leap back into this, here's what I'd like to kind of wrestle with in the short time we have left. I'm going to see if we have maybe 8 minutes or so left, but where should we go from here? What form should the next moves take from your perspective? The reality is a disaster has hit. The reality is we should not be defining Haiti by the disasters that hit it, but by understanding of our history and relationship to Haiti and over these last two centuries. But where do you think it goes now between the reality of what's going on the ground and what steps should be taken? Where would you start?
Okay. Number one, the Free Haiti movement that I lead, we want the end of the U.S. occupation behind the humanitarian front, fake elections, and these NGOs. We want them out of Haiti. That's number one. Number two, and for the immediate present, understand that there are 15 million Haitians right now, 10 million in Haiti and 5 million abroad. The only direct aid to Haiti is the diaspora remittances, which is over $2 billion that Haitians send to their family directly. The rest of what your audience constantly hears about this great white savior charitable industrial complex is all fake. They come in and they ride out the economic recession. We know, I don't have to go into a litany of what they do, but what I want to say to you right now is that Haitians are helping Haitians. Your school children are helping the Haitians that have been affected. So those who really want to help in this crisis period, there's the Lumbee Fund. There are Haitian-led organizations that have been around for 30 years. I've been around for 30 years. We have something called Vili Blo that we put together after the earthquake, which is clean water, renewable power. And we're trying to help the folks, and this is what they need right now. So food is a problem because all the fruit trees have fallen down. So what we're asking folks to do is, if you want to help, what you need to do is find a Haitian cooperative, and there are a few of them. We're putting them on our website. That's in, because only one area of Haiti has hit, and it's the south. So there are folks in the north that you can send money to, a reputable Haitian organization that's going to buy the food from the farmers, locally sourced it, and bring it down to the people, as opposed to these foreigners coming in and dumping food into our market and hurting the local guys who will be hurt. That's number one. Number two, we need big transportation, big equipment. So if these European armies are coming in, what Haiti really needs is to help the clear the roads so that there will be a path into the South. There are areas in the South that nobody has gotten to yet, where the people are, you know, they need clean water, shelter, and to know that people know, and there, you know, there's a big hospital. It's called St. Boniface Hospital. It's in the area where my family is, and it's providing a lot of help. So what people can actually do is not send food, not send anything, send money for the food to be locally sourced, and then there's a list on my website of what medicines that's necessary that we are looking for so we can provide to that hospital that is helping the people in that area. So if you have a friend who's a nurse that's at a hospital, if you, and a lot of Haitians, that's what we're doing, go to that list, there are drop-off points, and then we're trying to fly it in, do what we can to get the medicine. So it's medicine, clean water, and I suggest right now those buckets that have the filters that you can give to the people so that they can continually have, you know, some water. So that's what people can do in solidarity. So, but we do not need a repeat of what went on during 2010, where you know, the Red Cross came in and raised $500 million and built 7 permanent homes, or the Hillary Clinton Foundation, or Obama's aid is about bringing in Monsanto seeds and destroying Haiti and indigenous diversity farming. We don't need that.
So let me. We only have a couple minutes left here, and I think maybe a minute and a half actually is what we have left in the before we have to break. And Wadner Pierre, let me just let you conclude for us, since we haven't heard from you just in a bit.
Well, obviously now what we can do to now, and since Nicole Philip already mentioned, we have a government in place, and from what I'm seeing, and the government have been doing his best to help the storm victim. And now we need people around the world, if you need to contribute anything to Haiti, we need you to get in touch with the Haitian government. We need you to get in touch with reputable local non-profit organizations. And we also, and it's very important, to think about post-justice hurricane. Like, we have organizations like Institute for Democracy in Haiti, who've been fighting for justice for over 20 years, and now also a voice for UN for UN to accept his fault for bringing cholera in Haiti. We have partners in health of Dr. Paul Farmer, who's been working in the country for over 25 years, providing health care. We have thousands of Haitian organizations, or even grassroots organizations from abroad who've been working with Haitian people.
Wanda, I'm sorry to break in, but we're just out of time. We're up against a news break that we have to take. But I want to thank the three of you. This has been a fascinating conversation, taking us places we didn't expect. Wadner Pierre, Isila Danto, and Nicole Phillips, thank you so much for your work. Thanks so much for being with us. We look forward to having this conversation again soon for a longer time. Thank you. And I thank you all for calling in already and making the show what it is today. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our senior producer is Mark Gunnery. Our producer is Imani Spencer. Our engineer is Andre Melton. Intern is Calvin Perry. Theme music by Walt Mathis of Gun Cuts. Send your thoughts about today's show to talk@steinershow.org. Podcast the Steiner Show. Share it with your friends. Visit us on the web at steinershow.org or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. And for your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.